It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello and welcome to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's Half Athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, talk about them on this radio show. I do all I can with sports without being an athlete. Joining me in studio, as always, he's a member of the POU football team. He's the only athlete left on staff. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how have you been? How's the first part of your school year been?
It was nice. I got to take a nice trip down to Texas with the week we had off. Got to see my girlfriend. That was nice. Kind of rejuvenated me going forward for football. And as far as school year has been, class has been easy so far. Nothing too hard. But, just trying to get to our next game, which is still 2 weeks away.
It's crazy how the schedule's worked out for you guys. Obviously, last week you were supposed to play Warner, and they are from Florida.
Yep.
So they have been struggling with some stuff that's really out of their control. They had Hurricane Irma come through and affect basically that whole university and all the families involved. So we hope that they're doing well, but at the same time, it kind of stinks for you guys because you played a game and now you're waiting. Is it a total of 3 weeks or 2 weeks before you get?
Now we're down to 2 weeks. So the countdown
is... So 3 full weeks before you played a football game since your first... That's so weird. Oh, how does that feel? Please, tell me how that feels, because you started the season and everyone's so hopped up for that first game, but now...
It just feels like another fall camp, pretty much, to where... I mean, this period is even longer than fall camp. Fall camp's only 2 weeks until your first game. This is 3 weeks, so I don't know. It's a different experience, one that I've never been through before. But just got to keep grinding.
Absolutely, absolutely. Want to remind those of you who are listening right now that you can call into the show at any time. The number to do it is 253-535-7332. One of the things we're really wondering about is what the Seahawks should do with Jimmy Graham. He's made, I think, 4 catches over 2 games for like 9 yards. Is he even worth having on the team? Is there trade value to him? What should the Seahawks do? Call us. Tell us what you think. We need to know what you think about Jimmy Graham as a Seattle Seahawk. Again, it's 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. If you want to check out the full podcast of this show, do it at mastmedia.pou.edu. That's where you can find full versions of this show. You can also check out H&C Sports. That's Heine and Carson Barnett. They have their own sports show. It's on Friday mornings. You can check out their show there, and you can also listen live right here on Laser. And you can also check out What's the Big Deal. That's Dylan Foreman, Sarah Cornell Meyer, and Zach Goff. They have their show on Fridays at 2. But their show is also on mastmedia.pou.edu. If you don't want to go to that website, you could go to YouTube. And you can check out Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. You can find videos. You can find our short video segment of Half Athlete Tries, where I met up with athletes on the campus of POU and tried to do what they do. And I think they turned out really, really well, so go ahead and check those out. Thank you, DJ. Mm-hmm. There's also some highlights from the high school football games I broadcast for 1180 AM KLAY Radio, so definitely a lot of good stuff there on Half Athlete Radio. You want to get there and check it out. But DJ, you know, I made the analogy once before, but we're kind of like our own little college sports program.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of program. We're a radio show, but we are that. Last year, we graduated 3 seniors across the whole school year.
So
I mean, we were old.
New recruiting class.
We were old. We had to get young, didn't we?
Yes.
That's where our new co-host steps in. His name is Seth Bershing. Seth, how are you this morning? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm doing well, Christian. I'm happy to be here on the show with you and DJ. I am a sophomore here at PLU. I'm a communications major, and when I graduate, I'm hoping to get into either sports broadcasting or sports journalism, so I figured this is the place to be if I want to get some experience.
You bet. We're going to get
you in the right place.
Get you primed and ready to get out into the real world and do good. Tell us a little bit about your background in sports. What did you play? Where did you play it? What are your experiences like?
Well, my favorite sport has always been baseball.
Right on.
It's been in my family for all of us growing up, we've always been around baseball, watching baseball, playing baseball. I've been an outfielder there. I did a little pitching, but I wouldn't call myself a pitcher. Then my other sport that I really like is football. I did that 4 years in high school. I was a running back and defensive back and also the kick and punt returner.
Excellent. Excellent stuff. Now, you mentioned your brothers. How many siblings do you have?
I have 4 older siblings and a younger sibling.
Man.
And you are towards the middle, correct?
Yeah, I'm number 5 out of 6.
Well, there you go. There you go.
See, that was one of the biggest draws into adding Seth to the show. If his brothers and family and parents and cousins and everything listen in, I mean, we increase our listenership by a ton. So, Seth,
yes.
Thank you for joining the show.
Yeah, my family's huge.
What'd you do over the summer?
Over the summer, I was going back to the Midwest on a couple occasions, once in June, once in August. In June, I was visiting family for the first half, and then we were road tripping around the area, seeing some different things like the Arch in St. Louis, the Louisville Slugger Factory.
Awesome.
And then the second trip, the one in August, we were just hanging with family because my brother and his wife had their first baby, and so I became an uncle.
Awesome. Awesome.
Congratulations.
Do you like being an uncle?
It's different. I mean, diaper changes aren't fun, but...
No way.
But the rest of it is, it's very rewarding.
Yeah. I married into being an uncle over the summer, and it's okay. It's the best part is giving him back to his parents, I think. No, I'm just kidding.
Any kids in the future, Christian?
Not for me.
Oh, why not? I mean,
not the immediate future. Give me like 5 years. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Be Uncle DJ if you want.
Okay. did we have a caller there? Or?
We did, and they hung up. Please call us back. 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. If you got questions for Seth, or if you want to talk about Jimmy Graham as a Seahawk, should he be a Seahawk? Should he not be a Seahawk? What should the team do differently with Jimmy Graham? There's just so many questions. We have to get to it. We want to know what you think. So call us, 253-535-7332. Seth, do you have any interests outside of sports? I mean, sports is kind of a hobby for you at this point. You're a half athlete like myself. Any interests outside of sports?
Well, sports is a big part of my life. That's what I'm doing most of the time. If I'm not playing sports with friends or watching sports on TV, I'm usually like playing Madden or 2K on my Xbox. So, mm-hmm.
What position, because you didn't mention basketball when you're talking about your sports background, what position are you when you play 2K? Do you do my player? Do you do the franchise mode? What do you lean towards in 2K?
I usually stick with the franchise mode.
Mm.
I'm not good enough for like my park or any of those, but I always try and make my build somewhat realistic to how I really am. But
and what would that be?
That would be about 5'7" and 160 pounds.
That's why I asked. What position are you on the basketball court?
I usually go with point guard.
Right on.
But if I were really to play basketball, I feel like I would probably be more of a shooting guard.
Right on.
I don't have the ball handling skills to be a lead point.
DJ, you got any questions for Seth?
Yeah, just a couple quick hitters. Favorite movies?
Ooh.
I would have to say Star Wars.
Star Wars? Okay, so are you excited for the new one coming out in December? I think it's The Last Jedi.
Yep, absolutely. They've been hyping it up for a couple years now.
Quite a while now, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that finally coming out.
Yeah. You said you like gaming too, so do you, like, staying on the Star Wars genre, do you play any of the Battlefront games?
I do. I've got the newest one that came out, I guess it was a year or two ago now.
Yeah.
And I'm hopefully going to be able to get the new one when that comes out.
Yeah. Fun stuff. I always liked, you know, like the Lego Star Wars when I was little. Those were always my go-tos. They were just super fun. You got anything else?
Go for it. You said you had quick hitters for him. I want to hear all of these.
Okay. If you had to choose one that stayed in Seattle, would it be the Sonics, the Seahawks, or the Mariners?
Wow.
You can only have one. Wow. You can only have one.
The Seahawks are the only one who's good.
But what if So let's just say theoretically they're all good, they're all seeing success, but you
they're all
still...
good or they're all bad. All are on an equal on an equal playing field. But what would you pick?
They were all on a perfectly even playing field talent wise.
They were all fourth in their division, because I think that's a little bit more realistic than saying they were all great. If they're all fourth in their division across the board,
then I would have to say the Mariners, because I go to a couple Mariner games every year, but I can never say that I've been to a Seahawks game before. So
see, that's what I like about Seth. That's a logical choice. If you pick the Seahawks, that's like a 22 or 23 week season at the most. Like, everyone can get to a couple of Mariners games a year. Like, that's a logical choice for a team to stay in town as a fan.
I was just talking yesterday, too, with some of my buddies in the weight room. I was like, well, you know, even though the Mariners suck and they are not going to make the playoffs this year, we'll talk about that a little later. But even though they suck, you know, it's still great summer fun to go out to a game, you know, and just, you know, enjoy baseball at its finest, which Safeco Field, I think, is one of the best ballparks in the MLB. So, I mean, it does serve as great entertainment. Garlic fries, crickets, you name it. They got all kinds of food there, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Got any more for Seth?
I asked this one last week, but it didn't get recorded.
In our pilot episode.
Yes.
That was our practice round.
Yes. The question was, if you could have dinner with any sports star, dead or alive, well, who would it be?
Well, I'm going to stick with the answer that I gave last week, and that is either Marshawn Lynch or Richard Sherman. Complete opposite personalities. Lynch probably wouldn't have anything to say, so it'd be a pretty quiet dinner. And Sherman would probably just talk my ear off, but, you know, he's pretty intelligent guy, very good at what he does.
Yeah,
I think he'd have a lot of good insight.
Very true, very true.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. DJ, do you have a pick for that question?
Yes, I did, and I'm gonna stick with the same guy I said last week, and Gronkowski, one of the best tight ends to ever play the game, and when he's healthy, he is the best. And I would even argue for him to stick up for him, as he is the best tight end of all time when healthy. So there's like a big asterisk right next to that. But you know, his problem is just he can't stay healthy. But going on, more to dinner, like, that would be just a fun experience. You can say what you want about his personality, but he does like to, you know, have fun, which I respect that about him, and he does get his job done on Sundays. I mean, you can't mess up in Bill Belichick's system, and Gronk makes sure that every time he steps on that field on Sunday, he gets the job done and does it well.
I think that's fair.
That is Christian, you got to answer this one.
Man, I don't even know who I would pick. I want to pick someone like super smart, like someone who had something to do with inventing either football or basketball or baseball, just to kind of see where their head was when they created that game. But I think as a fan, I would like to sit down with Edgar Martinez and listen to stories from an era when the Mariners were great, learn about how to teach or just how to hit a baseball in general, because he's the best ever at doing that, in my opinion. Well, maybe not the best ever, but he's really, really good at it. So
You can make an argument that he's the best ever.
Definitely Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah, that's another topic. I think, Seth, do you have anything you'd like to add to the listeners, people who are hearing you for the first time? Just anything extra? You good on this one?
I think I'm good. I'm just really excited to be here with you guys. I mean, I'm looking forward to this semester and moving forward.
Well, we're excited to have you. Right now, we are going to take a short break, but like we said, we're going to talk a little Mariners baseball when we come back. They are about 4 games out with 11 games left to play. Playoffs looking really, really grim. We'll talk about the season as a whole when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet didn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. PLU's half athlete. Don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, cover them, talk about them on the radio. I do all I can with them. Joining me in studio, a tight end on the PLU football team, his name is DJ Winter.
What's going on, guys?
And our new co-host, his name is Seth Bershing. Yep, Seth, what did you think about that break song? Did you love it?
Do you believe in love?
I do. It's a good oldies song right there.
See, no, don't say it like that, because the master plan is for one day for Seth to take this over when DJ and I leave. And what you got to do is you got to please your audience. I know we got a lot of parents listening right now, and I know that song made them smile. So you got to get a feel for who's listening, and then make them happy. Pro tip right there, just for Seth. Seth Bershing in studio with us today.
Yeah.
If you want to call into the show, oh my goodness, if you want to call into the show and talk about the Mariners, talk about Jimmy Graham as a Seahawk, please do it. 253-535-7332. Again, it's 253-535-7332. If you want to check out this full show in podcast form, you can do it at mastmedia.pou.edu. You can also check out the other sports programs that are on Laser on that website underneath the same category. We've increased the sports content by adding two more shows, so tons of sports on Laser this semester and hopefully for the entire year. If you want to check out just everything that myself and the rest of the Half Athlete Radio crew have done, you can do it on YouTube. Go ahead, type in Half Athlete Radio and we'll be there. Give us a subscribe, help us get some A's with our professors. All we're trying to do is impress them and get good grades, so you can help us out by subscribing to the YouTube channel. We'd appreciate that. All right, guys, let's talk about the Seattle Mariners. Just like I said, they're about four games out with 11 games left to play. They need a ton of help. They need both the Angels and the Twins to go stone cold and the Mariners to almost win out, because they're a bit too far out to really make some hay down the stretch here. So just kind of give me your thoughts on what's going on so far this season.
I think it's just, it's like we said last week, the pitching has the injuries to the pitching staff has kind of hindered us from making any big strides anywhere. But I guess the offense has been good. I think some of the moves that DePoto has made have been okay, getting the Yonder Alonso signing. But like Christian, like you were saying last week, getting Erasmo for Steve Cishek, that was, you know, questionable. But I think going forward, you know, you got Cano. I still say you hold on to Cruz. I guess my kind of hot take, we were talking about this on the break, was trading Felix, because I think there is a hopeless team out there that still believes in Felix and that he has something left in the tank. And I guess, I mean, as a Mariners fan, I would like to believe that he's got something left in the tank. But I think you got to get rid of him. You don't release him, because you could possibly get something.
You still owe him money too.
Yeah.
You can't just outright drop a player like the NFL. Like, contracts are contracts.
And I know.
People owe that money, so.
And for that to happen, he'd have to waive his no-trade clause too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And whether he would be willing to waive the no-trade clause or something, that would be, you know, we don't really know, because the Mariners have never really explored the option of trading him. But, you know, I really like Mike Leake, what he's done. I saw he's got a 2.13 ERA right now in his four starts with the Mariners, and we have him signed through 2020. So that could be, you know, that could be – I think he's got – top of the rotation stuff. We'll see. I can't believe in Paxton. He's been hurt way too much, but I do believe we bring him back next year. You let Kuma go, but I think you got to re-sign Smiley too. What we saw in the World Baseball Classic was he went out and dominated there, but we never got to see that. Every pitcher, I feel like, in today's world goes through Tommy John, and they seem to come back fine. And what Smiley showed before he had Tommy John was he was pretty dang good. So we need to address starting pitching in the off season, and I think we could maybe squeeze one more year out of Cano and Cruz and Seager. You know, he had kind of a downer year this year. But you know him. He's going to bring that blue-collar mentality and go into the offseason and do a lot of work. So I don't know. That's kind of my, I guess, a summary on the season and what they should do heading forward into the offseason. I know there is going to be moves. Knowing DePoto, he is going to make some moves. Whether they be good or bad, we'll see.
Seth, what do you, give me your thoughts real quick.
I think this whole season's been a missed opportunity. The AL has not been very good this year. There's really only four teams running away with it: the Indians, Red Sox, Astros, and Yankees. So I think it's just a missed opportunity. The Mariners easily could have wrapped up one of the wild card spots, but they've just hovered right around 500 the whole year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. I think that there's absolutely no reason why this team should did what they did.
There's no reason the Twins and the Angels should be ahead of us in the standings. There's no way those rosters are better than ours.
No, here's my thing. Okay, I really didn't get upset with what Jerry DePoto has done with the roster until the last day of waiver trades. I think that was last day of August, when the Astros made a trade for Justin Verlander, and then in that same day, about the same hour, it seemed like the Angels went ahead and added Brandon Phillips and Justin Upton.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those moves are moves that make those teams significantly better than they were before they had those players. Mariners' moves throughout the season, injuries or not, I don't really care. They were all just so lateral. You mentioned the Erasmo Ramirez for Steve Cishek. That's a lateral move. All you do is get a couple extra innings out of a pitcher. Erasmo's been good for the Mariners, but so had Steve Cishek been.
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, just lateral. Let's stay where we are. Just get a different guy to get a different guy is what it felt like. That's kind of my take with what he has done throughout the season. I get that the injuries are an easy cop-out, but to me that's what they are, an easy cop-out. I mean, he didn't make the team any better with anything that he did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're definitely right. But he has given the Mariners, you know, a couple quality starts.
He's been good, yeah. But I mean, it just, why?
Yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of a meh trade. Like,
exactly.
Just something to stay in the news. Something to give the Mariners newsworthy. I haven't lost hope in DePoto. I do like that he's making more moves than none. You know, baseball can be a long season and people can lose interest, but when you make trades like that, you're like, oh, okay. Like, you said, I mean, we didn't get any worse, you don't think, right?
Didn't get any worse, but you didn't get any better.
Yeah. So
it's the same thing with the Marco Gonzalez for Tyler O'Neill. I mean, it didn't get any worse, didn't get any better.
Mm-hmm.
You just got.
Yeah. So it could be just something to move people around, and it could be just like a PR move to show that he is still trying, the Mariners are still trying. Maybe it's sending a message. If you're not getting any worse, then you're staying the same, and it could just be like, hey, we're still here, we're still trying, something like that.
Yeah, I get that, and I don't all at once. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, why not just keep those players and see how they turn out?
Yeah, that's true.
You're
too.
Basically doing that with what you get in return.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, what's happening?
I don't know. I mean,
you're just spinning your wheels.
Yeah,
he's literally moved 185 players.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 years.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
I think they're just kind of stuck. Really, he doesn't have any decent prospects to flip for some talented major league talent. So he's just kind of stuck in this cycle of trading average players for other mediocre players. There's not a whole lot he can do there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally.
It is a tough deal for sure. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Seattle Seahawks. They got by the 49ers by a very narrow margin. We'll talk about Jimmy Graham and how he's been virtually ineffective for the Seahawks throughout his entire time here. What changes need to take place?
Yep.
Don't go anywhere. This is Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different. No one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete, joined by the tight end from the POU football team. His name is DJ Winter.
Number 87.
You bet. And our new co-host, his name is Seth Bershing. He's a half athlete like myself. Seth, how are you liking the show so far?
I'm really enjoying it, Christian. I'm having a good time.
Excellent, excellent. We hope you who are listening are having a good time as well. If you want to call into the show, you can do it, 253-535-7332. We're getting ready to talk a ton of Seahawks, talk about their narrow win over the 49ers, talk about Jimmy Graham and how effective or ineffective he's been as a Seattle Seahawk, and we want to get your opinion, 253-535-7332. Call us, tell us about it. If you like today's show so much you want to listen to it again, you can do that later today on mastmedia.pou.edu. You can also head over to YouTube and type in Half Athlete Radio. Check out pretty much everything we've done, whether it be audio or video or anything like that, over here at POU, so Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. So I was working for most of Sunday, and I caught the fourth quarter of the game. Seth, you had said that you saw the first half, is that correct?
Yeah, I saw the first half and just parts of the second half.
So like we said, the Seahawks beat the 49ers 12-9. Seth, what did you see in that first half?
It was pretty much the same old, same old. The offense couldn't do anything. I thought the O-line was a little less bad than they were against Green Bay, but Russell Wilson, I think, has been off so far. He's overthrowing some open receivers, but even when he does hit, his receivers have had some drops, so those things just really make it tough to find any rhythm for an offense that really runs on rhythm.
I think that's fair. Fortunately, got to see the first touchdown of the season, I guess. Maybe that's unfortunate for Seahawks fans, but it came in the fourth quarter of that 49er game when they needed it the most. And you mentioned that offense being off a little bit. I mean, the drive where they scored a touchdown, Russell Wilson was running all over the place for his life, basically. And I think that's when they are the best that they are, if that makes sense, when he's not sitting in the pocket, but getting out of the pocket and either throwing a ball down the field or picking up 7 yards on his feet. I think they don't look better than when he's doing that. Agree or disagree?
I'd agree with that. I think he's used to doing that, having to do that for his entire career here so far in Seattle behind that shaky O-line.
I would say that, yes, he is good when he's out of the pocket, but the way he's getting out of the pocket this year, and unfortunately the last couple of years, have been the O-line has not been picking up their assignments, and so he's been having to like escape a couple defensive linemen, then get outside of the pocket, which, you know, there are play designs where you can get outside of the pocket, like a bootleg or something like that. They could do that better. I think I would disagree with you, Christian. The first couple years he was here, they had a better offensive line, and he was able to be in the pocket, and I felt like he felt a little more safe. And right now, part of his bad quarterbacking play could be because he doesn't feel safe. It's like, I mean, Eli Manning is experiencing the same thing in New York right now, as we all saw on Monday night. When a quarterback does not feel safe in the pocket, it messes with his psyche, because you just have to look out of your peripherals, and if your peripherals are telling you, like, hey, I've been sacked so many times before, then that's going to play into you trying to escape. And when you try to escape, everything kind of, you know, breaks down. The play designs are meant for the quarterback to be in the pocket, go through his reads. If nothing's there, then he can run. Part of the quarterback's job is not to, oh crap, my first read isn't open, I got to get out of here or else I'm going to get sacked. So, I mean, that all kind of plays into his psyche. I mean, as offensively, right now the Seahawks are only averaging 10.5 points, which is 28th in the 28th. In
good thing they've got a great defense.
Yeah, 28th in the league. Rushing wise, I think that it's been okay. Russell and Chris Carson have kind of led the charge on that. They're averaging 110.5 yards right now, which is 13th overall, so kind of middle of the pack. But I think the one bright spot on this offense has been Chris Carson and his ability. He's averaging 5.1 yards per game right now. And he kind of, you know, he was in the kind of lower part of the depth chart coming into fall camp and he's kind of risen up. So I think that he's been the one bright spot in this offense.
Yeah, I don't know, because the eye test just shows that when Russell Wilson gets away from everybody, the team moves the ball better. So I get that, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I'm not convinced that it'd be better if he were just sitting still.
Yeah. 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 I know we were talking about Jimmy Graham too, and his, you know, play or lack thereof. He's in the last year of his contract, and I know he is playing for that contract. So I don't know. I think we should just stick to what we have now. We shouldn't re-sign him. We're not gonna need to re-sign him. I think we're gonna have to build our tight ends through the draft, because I mean, Luke Wilson, I don't think is the answer either. A couple people that we could be looking at in the draft is Marvin Sanders from Florida State. He only saw 14 targets last season, but he's going to see more this year and get a chance to prove that he's got more than 14 targets. And then there's this one guy from a non-power five school, UMass. He's 6'5", 255. I got to watch him a little bit this season against Penn State, and he moves pretty well. He catches the ball. He's a big target, and he could block pretty well too. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on the tight end position for the Seahawks, Seth?
Well, I like Jimmy Graham as a player, but if they're not gonna utilize him to his full talent, then I certainly don't think it's worth keeping him at whatever mm-hmm. it is they're paying him right now.
He's more of like a wide receiver, and the Seahawks are just too stubborn to see themselves see him as a wide receiver, which is what they needed to try and convert him to.
I got to interrupt you guys real quick because we have Soso from off campus. He's calling in right now. He wants to give his thoughts on the Jimmy Graham situation. Let us know what you think.
I'm happy to be here. I'm from WSU, and zero fantasy points for Jimmy Graham's a little concerning for everyone. I mean, I don't know how we don't get him involved in our offense. I don't know what Pete Carroll's doing. I don't think Russell Wilson's been that great. How about we give the ball to the best tight end in the league?
So
I don't know what's going on.
So the angle you're going to take on this is that it's more of a philosophical problem with what the Seahawks are choosing to do with him. They're not tailoring any offense towards his way. They're trying to make him fit a system. And with an athlete that is as good as Jimmy Graham, it's obviously not working. So
I agree. They need to build the system around Jimmy Graham. This guy's like been the number one tight end because Gronk was getting hurt, obviously, but still, he's still great. And he needs like 9 or 10 targets a game. This guy's getting like 3 or 4. Like, that's no good. And like the 2 targets he got in week 1 were like screen pass, like little shovel receiver, like to running back.
Right.
It was ridiculous.
I couldn't agree with you more. So, by the way, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Where's DJ?
This DJ right there.
this is me,
DJ,
buddy.
Great to talk. I saw that you had a radio show and I was pumped.
Hey, I couldn't agree with you more. He's 6'7", 270 pounds. Like, that's a physical specimen. And if we're just going to throw screen passes to him and stuff like that.
So we got to let you go, man. Thank you so much for listening. Call back sometime. Maybe clean up the vocab a little bit. Oh, man, it gets out of hand when DJ's friends call in.
As you can see, you know, our callers are very passionate about the Seahawks.
Hey, we're sorry about that, folks. Thank you for listening. But, yeah, it's a problem right now with Jimmy Graham. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks can't figure out how to use him, or they're just choosing not to use him correctly. Seth, you got some more thoughts on Jimmy Graham?
Well, he's got to be able to block if he's going to be a part of our offense moving forward, which right now he's really only being utilized as a receiver, like you said, DJ. And I just don't think that they can continue to commit that much of the offense and that much of our cap space to a guy that we're only using for a fragment of what we should be using him for.
But does he need to block? Like, if he's not good, like, does he need to? Why don't they use him differently? Why don't they split him out wide like the Saints did, and where he was so incredibly effective? Does he need to block? Like,
no, he doesn't. This is the problem where all the football traditionalists see a tight end, and I've said this once and I'll say it again, tight ends are forgotten in this game. We are big people who can be big targets. And a lot of the time, people just see us as slow-moving people who...
Oh, this is getting personal with DJ. Keep going, DJ. This is getting personal.
Slow-moving people who, you know, not the fleetest of foot or the greatest of hands, but, I mean, gosh darn it. We can... We are big targets. We can catch the ball, throw fades to us. Like I said, Jimmy Graham, 6'7", 270. In the red zone, use him. Doug Baldwin, no, nothing against him. He's only 5'11", but if you look at 5'11 versus 6'7", 6'7 is going to be the better target. And a lot of, you know, linebackers and DBs are only like 6'1", 6'2". So that is a mismatch problem, and we don't do enough, and that falls all on I think it falls on Pete Carroll. I think it falls on Daryl Bevel. It's just been a misfortune to see what Jimmy Graham has gone through here in Seattle, and I feel his pain.
Yeah. Seth, do you have anything to add on that? Or?
Well, I still think he should be at least an average blocker, because if he can't block, then as soon as he checks into the game, you know what's coming. It's a pass to Jimmy Graham, or it's a pass play to somebody, and teams are going to sit on that. They're going to audible out of whatever it is they're in into a coverage on Jimmy Graham if he can't block. And if it is a run play and he's missing his block, then our run offense is going to suffer.
That's actually a very fair point, though. That's a good point.
Yes. When he was trying to re-sign with the Saints, he even tried to get switch his position to wide receiver. So if the Saints were to place a franchise tag on him, because that's realistically, that's what they were using him for, he would make more money. So, I don't know. Like I said, misfortune.
It's a tough deal, man.
The one bright spot, though, is the defense. Only giving up 9 points. And really, I say you only gave up 10 to Green Bay because we fumbled on our own four-yard line. Pro Football Focus has the Seahawks front seven ranked number two behind the Texans. And then their secondary is ranked third in the whole NFL. So, I mean, you are doing something right on the defensive end. And like you always say, defense wins championships. The one thing I do think that could happen is the defense could carry us deep into the playoffs like the 2000 Ravens did.
The 2014 Seahawks did. I mean,
yeah, we had enough offense, though, to go along with that. I mean, we got to remember the Seahawks, you know, we've always been kind of slow starting on the offensive end, and then we pick it up towards the end of the year. So, I mean, we shouldn't throw away the cards now.
That's fair.
So, I mean, time will tell. If we're having the same problems towards week 14, something needs to change. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
You guys, I'm a bad host right now. Do you guys know who they play this week?
Yes, they play Tennessee.
Seahawks and Tennessee. That's a random matchup, it feels like. But
yeah, 1 o'clock start. Their defense, I think, will contain Mariota. But, I mean, Tennessee has a pretty good defense. I know they have Brian Arakpo, Jarrell Casey on that defensive line. And Malarkey, I believe he is a defensive guy. He's the head coach for Tennessee, so it'll be interesting to see this matchup. If the Hawks can score more than if they can score 17 points, I'd say they win. If they can score 14, I would say they probably win in a close one, 14-10 or something like that. But it is a road game. We know how those go for the Hawks. They almost hardly, if ever, show up on the road, so we'll see.
Seth, you got thoughts on this weekend's game?
Well, I think it speaks to how good our defense is that they're on the field 40 minutes every game and they only give up maybe 10, 12 points every game. If our offense can be even just a little bit better, score 17 or 20 points every game, our defense is going to be fresher every time they're out in the field, and it's going to be that much harder for other teams to score at all on us. I think if the offense is able to just get a few more points per game, just 17 points a game, 20 points a game, they'll go 13-3, 14-2.
It should be an interesting random rare matchup. The Seahawks and the Titans, kind of, it's different. All right, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about the University of Washington Huskies, what's going on over there in Seattle. Don't go anywhere. This is Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online. I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere. It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people. And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm POU's Half Athlete. I'm joined by the tight end from the POU football program. His name is DJ Winter.
Go Dogs.
And our new co-host, Go Dogs. the dude on the POU football team just yelled Go Dogs into the microphone. That's where's your Go Lutes at, man? This is ridiculous.
Hey, Go Lutes too, but we don't play for another.
Our new co-host, his name is Seth Bershing. Seth, you having fun so far?
I am. This has been a blast so far.
If you want to call into the show, you can do it. Talk a little Husky football with us. You can do it 253-535-7332. If you go to Wazoo, please clean up your language before you call into the show. It's 253-535.
We love it, though.
7332. Oh, if you want to hear the full show in podcast form, go ahead and go to mastmedia.pou.edu to check that out. If you want to check clips of the show or any video content that we produced over the last couple of years, you can do that by going to YouTube and typing in Half Athlete Radio and check us out. So, DJ, you want to talk a little Husky football today.
Yeah.
So go ahead, lead it off. Tell me about it.
All right. So saw the Dogs this weekend. Well, I mean, I didn't see them personally, but I watched them on TV. They won 48-13 over Fresno State, and right now they're sitting at 3-0, number 7 in the AP top poll, top 25 poll, number 6 in the coaches poll. And one thing I think is a bunch of hogwash is the Huskies win 48-16. Grant, their schedule isn't, you know, it's not stellar at best. But, you know, they're blowing teams out with the exception of Rutgers, and they still move down. That's a pet peeve of mine. You look at teams like Virginia Tech, who's 3-0. They moved up three spots with a win over some, I believe it was an FCS team. Just the East Coast bias in college sports, professional sports even. Like the Seahawks, back in 2014 when they were good, you still would, like, rarely hear them on, and I know I'm going on a tangent right now, I just got to get this out. Even when they were winning, like, you would still hear about, oh, Patriots this, Patriots that. Like, the East Coast bias is unbelievable. And the Dogs have moved down twice in the last 2 weeks they moved down once from 6th to 7th. And they're taking care of business. They're blowing teams out. And they just keep moving down, which really, you know, grinds my gears. But sorry, that was just a quick rant I had. But they have looked good this year, and this weekend they'll be tested at Colorado. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time out here. So this will be the first really true test. Because it's at Colorado as well. That's always a tough place to play with the altitude. Coming off the season they had last year, they've looked good again this year with Montez as their quarterback taking over for Cepho. I really want to see how that defense is going to fare against Colorado's rushing game. You know, you got Keyshawn Bieria, you got Vita Vea. And they're going to kind of lead the charge on this defense this year, and we'll see how they do against the Colorado rushing attack and Phillip Lindsay. So, you know, they've looked good so far, but this will be the first test, really, that they have on Saturday. So I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this 2017-2018 team that is the UW Huskies.
Strength of schedule is funny because you don't know it until the end of the season.
Yes. You just got to trust the process.
That's why it's a funny thing. Like, oh, this team isn't that good. Well, all of a sudden at the end of the year, they're 7-3 or 5-4 or whatever they are. And you go, whoa, they were better than we thought. Well, that's going to hinder, you know, whatever teams had played them that are better than them, because they're not getting the votes that they might deserve for beating a Rutgers team that was perceptually very bad. But
they put up 65.
Gave the Huskies a good game and, yeah, played well last weekend. Mm-hmm. So strength of schedule, weird thing. Seth, you got any thoughts on the Huskies?
Well, I'm okay with them moving down one spot in the rankings. I don't think it really means anything this early in the year. They haven't played anybody any good. Maybe Rutgers will be all right, but even so, it's not like they're going to be top 25 fighting for one of the higher bowl games or anything. But, yeah, I mean, the season, it's really starting this week. They start the conference schedule with Colorado. So as long as they take care of business, it won't matter where they're ranked right now, week 3, week 4. When it gets there, week 10, 11, 12, if they've taken care of business in the conference, they'll be in the top 4 again.
Mm-hmm. So and that's a good point. I mean, it is the Pac-12. If the Dogs do take care of business, they will be in hopefully that group of 4, and they'll get another shot for the national championship this year. I mean, even if they don't, even if they have one loss, and that's the conference championship, maybe against a team like USC or something like that, then, I mean, it would still be a successful season, but I really hope that strength of schedule doesn't kill them too badly at the end when the playoff committee is selecting those 4 teams to go into the playoff.
Yep, it should be fun to watch the University of Washington Huskies football program and what they can do throughout the season. We are just about out of time for today's show. It was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to meet Seth Bershing, our new co-host, and get back on air and have some fun here.
And we got a caller today.
We got a caller. Always appreciated. So make sure to stay tuned to Laser this week on Friday. You can check out HNC Sports. That's Heine and Carson Barnett. They're going to talk a little sports at 10:30 a.m. right here on Laser. And then later in the day at 2 p.m. you can hear What's the Big Deal with Dylan Foreman, Sarah Cornell Meyer, and Zach Goff. They have a really good show. They're working on it every single week. You definitely want to get in and tune into that show. The main reason you want to tune in, just for starters, is to hear Zach Goff's voice. He's a freshman. He's a part of the men's basketball program here at POU, and his voice is so incredibly deep. I mean, he sounds like he's 6'10". I mean, just crazy. You have to hear this kid's voice, so tune in and listen to that on Friday. So for DJ Winter and Seth Bershing, my name is Christian Bond. We are out of here. See ya.